KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's clear and 16 degrees. We look for it to be mostly sunny today, a high near 40. Winds out of the northwest at around 10 to 15 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Creston Police Department this morning reports three recent arrests. Sunday evening, 21-year-old Jeffrey Arnold and 23-year-old Tylea Barnes, both of Creston, were arrested at the Creston Walmart for fifth-degree theft. Both were cited and released on a summons to appear in court. And Saturday night, 29-year-old Jessica Schlapia of Creston was arrested for violation of a no-contact order. She was being held in the Clark County Jail while awaiting a bond hearing. Voters in Montgomery County may cast their absentee ballots beginning today with regard to the December 15th special election. The election is being held to fill the District 1 seat on the Montgomery County Board of Supervisors. As we mentioned previously here on KJAN, back on October 21st, the Supervisor Appointing Committee appointed Charla Schmid to fill the District 1 seat. But then on November 2nd, Montgomery County Auditor's Office received a petition calling for a special election to fill the vacancy. Republican Steve Behrens and a Democrat Charlotte Schmidt have both filed papers. The auditor's office hours are today through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. for in-person voting. Last day to request and vote absentee ballot in person at the auditor's office in Montgomery County is Monday, December 14th, with proof of identification before voting. Eligible voters must reside in District Number 1. Absentee request forms are also available on the county's website at montgomerycountyia.gov or through the auditor's office directly. Request forms will have to be completed before you receive an absentee ballot, though. Request forms can be dropped off at the auditor's office or in the official county drop box located at the courthouse. If you have any questions about voter registration, absentee ballots, or voting in general, you should call the Montgomery County Auditor's Office at 712-623-5127. The Atlantic City Council is expected to act Wednesday on two mayoral appointments. First is an order to appoint Catherine Smith to the Utility Board of Trustees. If she's approved, Smith would replace Joyce Jensen, who has resigned. The appointment will be until April 1st of 2023. The second recommendation from the mayor is to appoint Adam Skog to the Atlantic Library Board of Trustees. If approved by the council, Skog would succeed Mark Johnson, who passed away in September. The appointment would expire June 30, 2024. In other business, the Atlantic City Council will act on passing a resolution approving the 2021 AMU calendar year budget. AMU has its own oversight board, but according to city code, the council must approve their budget in order for it to go into effect, since the utility is an entity of the city. The city traditionally passes the AMU budget without issue and acknowledges the AMU's board purpose and oversight. The council is also expected to act Wednesday on a third and final reading of an ordinance vacating an alley located east of the intersection of East 9th and Plum Streets, a second reading of an ordinance adopting the proposed amendments to the City of Atlantic Zoning Code 2018, as we previously mentioned, following past council meetings, and the council will act on an order to approve change order number 3 for the Atlantic Downtown Revitalization Project, which will add about $1,950 to the total project cost for a total of $449,329. Specific changes include at 400 Chestnut, repairing or replacing infill siding on the second floor for $1,125, and at 511 Chestnut, masonry repairs to an interior wall for $825. The council meeting takes place at 5:30 p.m. Wednesday and will be conducted electronically via Zoom. A reminder today from Cass County Wellness Coordinator Brigham Hoig that this coming Wednesday, December 2nd, Atlantic Local Food Policy Council will host a mobile food pantry through the Food Bank for the Heartland at the Cass County Community Center, and that takes place from 4 until 6 p.m. or until supplies are gone. Hoig says they have ordered double the amount of food to be handed out at the mobile pantries in the past, given the increased food needs related to COVID-19. Anyone in need is welcome to visit the mobile pantry, and no documentation is needed. People from surrounding towns and communities are welcome. Traffic will be directed by volunteers. Visitors are asked to stay in their vehicles with the trunk open. The mobile pantry is available free of charge. For more information about local food, farmers markets, and food access, follow the Cass County Local Food Policy Council's Facebook page at Cass County Local Food. Well, nonprofits are navigating a path of financial stress and uncertainty amid the pandemic and the economic crisis it's causing. In Iowa, a key health organization says it's seeing the effect and making changes. The American Heart Association division that serves the greater Des Moines area is expanding a key fundraising initiative to run year-round. AHA board member David Stark, who also heads Unity Point Health, says money that's still coming is prompting a shift in priority. And he said that there is a lot of focus right now in short-term research looking at the effects of the coronavirus, for example.
The impact of high blood pressure as it relates to susceptibility for coronavirus. So very specific, very focused effort on hypertension.
So the short-term research is being done in Iowa, and Stark says that means donations can have a local impact. Hypertension awareness is part of the group's annual Heart Ball campaign, which now runs an entire year to maximize donor potential. A report released this fall by the Charities Aid Foundation of America says 9 in 10 nonprofits worldwide are being squeezed by the crisis. Stark says other priorities such as childhood obesity outreach that is on the back burner for now, in part because safely connecting with students in schools isn't possible. But Montgomery chairs the Heart Ball campaign and works with other local nonprofits. He says there's been consistent declines in contributions.
It's interesting, really, because what I have seen in most of these is that the number of supporters, if you will, people who make donations and support the cause, is actually up for most folks, but the size of those donations is down in some cases considerably.
He says they hope by making this year's Heart Ball a 12-month campaign, they can attract enough support so there won't be a drastic reduction of outreach and research done in Iowa. The actual event, the ball, has also been pushed back from February to June. The inaugural season for the Iowa Deer Exchange has attracted 350 Iowans who indicated they were interested in receiving venison and 60 hunters who are willing to provide it. The Deer Exchange, along with the Help Us Stop Hunger or HUSH program, allows hunters an opportunity to provide high-quality lean protein to their neighbors while continuing to do what they enjoy, and that is hunting deer. Officials say they're pleased with the participation they've seen thus far, and the large number of registered recipients shows there's an audience who wants venison. They're encouraging hunters who are making their plans now to consider picking up another doe tag and registering to donate venison. To sign up for the Iowa Deer Exchange, go to www.iowadnr.gov/deer and then scroll down to Iowa's Deer Exchange program and fill out the required fields. The database creates a map and table with information deer donors and deer recipients can use to get connected. There's no cost to participate, but it's illegal to sell wild fish and game in Iowa. They want you to know, so hunters who prefer to use the HUSH program are encouraged to contact a participating locker before they harvest the deer to see if the locker has any additional drop-off instructions. The list of participating lockers is at iowadnr.gov/deer as well. Just scroll down to the Help Us Stop Hunger link. And the HUSH program is a partnership between the Iowa DNR, the Food Bank of Iowa, and participating meat lockers. Hunters donated more than 4,100 deer hides to the Elks Lodges across Iowa last year, which was a slight increase from the 2018-19 season. The Iowa DNR said the deer hides are used by the Veterans Leather Program to make professionally crafted leather gloves for veterans and wheelchairs, and also turned into leather used for therapy programs for recovering veterans. The Veterans Leather Program relies on the charity of hunters to donate their deer hides. Hunters willing to donate their hides are encouraged to contact their local Elks Lodge for drop-off locations, or they can go to www.elks.org/lodges to find your nearest lodge. The therapeutic kits and gloves are distributed at no cost to the veterans. Elsewhere in area news, firefighters from Stewart battled a storage unit blaze this past Thursday morning. In a social media post, officials said the fire at the M&G storage units on the west end of Stewart was reported around 1 a.m. Thursday. Smoke and heavy fire were seen upon arrival. Fire spread quickly due to wind and structural conditions. Dexter Fire and Menlo Fire were called in for additional support. All crews were working until 6 a.m. and one crew remained until 7 a.m. Thursday to search for and extinguish any hotspots. The fire caused heavy damage to the multiple storage units, and companies returned to base without any injuries. In addition to assistance from the Dexter and Menlo Fire Department, Stewart Rescue was on the scene, providing rehab for firefighters. Law enforcement was on hand for traffic control. Barb Boss with the Stewart Fire Auxiliary answered the call at 3 a.m. that day and brought coffee and donuts for those firefighters and other personnel. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.